Oh, Lord, we need a friend like you. I'm going to go a little further, Lord. We don't need a friend like you. We need you. I want a similar friend. I want him. God himself to be my friend. Y'all doing all right this afternoon? Good. Let's get to the lesson. I'm going to come on down here just so y'all know that we're going to be in and out today. Somebody say amen. Ain't that something? Joke ain't said amen all day. Till it's time to leave, I tell you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the third chapter. Book of Exodus, the third chapter. Let's see. When you all have it, just say amen. All right. Verse 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to a mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up of the land unto up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the impression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. That in your Bibles? All right. Yeah, well, from that passage of scripture, I would like to just offer you up the title, You're All I Need to Get By. Y'all, some of y'all said amen because you like the song. You know what I'm going to say. But it is a very popular song that was written by Ashford and Simpson years ago and made popular by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. And some of y'all probably listened to it on the way here. And the song is a beautiful song, and pretty much the song explains that if I need anything in this world, all I need is you, baby, and I'm going to get by. As a matter of fact, Marvin Gaye's verse says, like an eagle protects its nest, for you I'll do my best. Stand by you like a tree, dare anybody to try and move me. Darling, in you I find strength where I was torn down. Don't you know what's in store, but together we can open any door. Just to do what's good for you and inspire you a little higher. I know you can make a man out of a soul that has a goal. Cause we got the right foundation. And with love and determination, you're all I want to strive for and do a little more. All the joys under the sun wrapped up into one. You're all I need to get by. That's a love song, ain't it? Boy, you tell a woman that, you in a good place. He said, I dare anybody to try to move me. Well, when I look at this passage of scripture, I realize that Moses is now probably into his 80s. Okay? He has been away from Egypt for approximately 40 or so years. So Moses is older than the majority of the people of his generation. We know from studying Moses that Moses is not a very well-versed, well-spoken man. Some say he's even a stutterer. And, you know, we also know that Moses left Egypt after he killed the Egyptian. So Moses has gone to a place where he's working with his father-in-law, Jethro, and Moses is really trying, you know, for lack of better terms, to lay low. But God comes and he reveals himself to Moses through a burning bush. And Moses says something. He says, God says to Moses, I have heard my people's cry. I know what the Egyptians are doing to my people. And Moses, I want you to go and get my people. And I want you to bring them back. And I want you to worship me upon this mountain. Now, Moses asked a question that is almost, as a matter of fact, it's not almost, his question is really wrapped up in an excuse. Or is an excuse wrapped up in a question? He said, Lord, who am I? I'm a murderer. I'm the man that ran from Egypt. I'm the man working in the sheep. In the past, I'm a shepherd. I can't even talk. Lord, who am I to go to Pharaoh and get these people back? And God's response is really simple. He said, certainly I will be with you. What he's saying to Moses is, I'm all you need to get by. So sometimes we are in situations in our life and we begin to ask questions that are wrapped in excuses. And we go into life and God has given us a task. And when God gives us a task, we begin to say, well, Lord, who am I? What should I do? And God's response to us is just like his response to Moses. I'll be with you. I'm all you need to get by. But Moses wasn't even good. He couldn't even let it go there. He kept on going. The Bible, as you keep on going, it says that Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? It's another excuse. You know what Moses is trying to use right now? He's saying, I'm ignorant. I can't talk, and I don't know no better. He said, now, what if the children say, what's my father's name? What am I supposed to say? Now, watch it now. This is the same Moses who just got finished seeing a burning bush that wasn't consumed. It's the same Moses who knew who was speaking to him because God told him, take off your shoes because it's holy ground. So Moses knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly who God was. But he was trying to find an excuse so he would not have to take on the task that God has given him. But I love God's response. God doesn't give him a long, drawn-out answer. He says, tell him I am that I am sent you. What he's saying is, I'm all you need to get by. Don't you go there and start talking about nothing else. Don't give them no dissertation about my powers. Don't tell them that I told you from a burning bush. Don't tell them that you took your shoes off because you were on holy ground. All I want you to do is say, I am that I am sent you. Well, Brother Mason, why bring this passage of scripture up? Because a lot of times in our daily lives, God has given us a number of things that we are supposed to do. And just like Moses, we've seen God, we've seen his power, we've seen his mercy, we've seen his grace, but we will wrap up excuses in questions. Lord, who am I? You are nobody, actually. But I am all you need to get back. Matter of fact, let's look at this. If you go to 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, because I want you to understand that when God has sent you to take on a task that he has told you to do, when he sent you out to minister, when he sent you out to save people, he did not send you out because he thought you were worthy of it. He sent you out because he knows that he has enough power. He knows that he's good enough to help you accomplish any task. What does it say there? 2 Corinthians, I believe, third chapter, verse 5 and 6. Somebody read that.
I am sufficient of myself.
Uh-huh.
To think anything as I
say.
But I sufficiency is of God.
Stop there. He says, not that we are sufficient. Let me just get this out of the way. You are, I am insufficient. And I love the fact that the Corinthian writer says, or Paul says, we are not good enough. You know why I like that? Because Paul removes the excuse of not being good enough. He says it from the outset. I am not, you and I are not sufficient enough. But it's God that is sufficient. It's God that works through us that makes us sufficient. What is Paul saying? He's all that we need to get by. This week, y'all, some stuff gonna come and you're gonna be responsible for doing it. And it might just be love your neighbor. It might be that person at your job and just you just don't feel like loving them. And you get to work and you hear that small voice or you study the Bible and you walk in there and you know good and well you're supposed to do right by this person. And you know you're supposed to love this person. And you walk into that job and you hear God's voice saying to you in your conscience, well, darling, go on in there and love them. And you're going to look at God and say, Lord, who am I to love? Go on in there and teach them a little bit. Don't live a life that's pleasing me. Don't tell them that I exist. And you say, well, Lord, when I go and tell them that you exist, who do I tell them that you are? Or God says, go on in there and do your very best. Show these people how to live a life pleasing to me. And you say, Lord, I'm not sufficient enough. And God says, no, you got it all wrong. I'm all you need to get by. This week, don't you go out and try to work on your own power. You're going to lose. Just use what God has given you. Use the grace. Use the power, use the mercy, use everything that God has given you because God will give you enough. He is more than enough to get by. See, and I think that's important. We finished up our ministry fair yesterday, and I just want to let you know, the ministry fair is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, coming to the fair, we greatly appreciate your presence. And we greatly appreciate that you signed up for a ministry. But the work is in doing the ministry. You hear me? You might have signed up for a ministry that you don't feel really comfortable with yet. God's going to give you what you need. You might say to yourself, well, I don't know if I can do this. God's going to give you what you need. All you have to do is walk with purpose and walk in faith. And God is enough to get by. And let me tell you, I'm understating that because the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. That means conqueror would just be a normal person. You are more than enough when you walk hand in hand to God. Don't let them people tell you this week that you're nothing. Don't let them talk you out of doing your job the right way. Don't let them talk you out of loving them when you know you should. Don't let the devil tell you. You just leave them folks to themselves. You know how we do. You know, some folks just can't be loved. I'm going to leave them to themselves. No, that's not the job of the Christian. Your job is to love them anyhow. It might be some crazy joke. If some of them come to my school, mama come to the school, they can't even get my name right. They come in cussing me out who's the principal? Uh-oh. I hear them in the back office. I walk out and say, how you doing? Sit down, let me talk to you. And you have to do it out of love. Why? Because I'm not representing me. I'm representing the God that's in me. Go ahead and stand onto your feet. That's all I got. That's it. I told you. Somebody said, oh, for real? That's it. That's it. This week, I want you to have the confidence that you need. And I know that the confidence that you need is in Christ Jesus. See, we will not accomplish anything without the love, without the power that Christ has given us. Some of you saying, well, you know what? I believe that, Brother Mason. But for the last 2, 3 weeks, month, 4, 5 years, I've been having more excuses than anything else. I just need y'all to pray for me to get these excuses out of my head. Come on down and we'll pray for you now. And some of you might even say, you know what? I'm not even a member of the body of Christ, and I'm just trying to figure out what this God is that you're talking about. Why is he so good? Well, he was good from the beginning of time. But he showed us another layer of goodness when he sent his son down to die for our sins. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And he rose again on the third day with all the power that he needed. We invite you to that kind of relationship. We invite you to renew your relationship right now as we sing the song of invitation.
I am resolved no longer to linger.